This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Halnan. He's one of the employee owners at Tab. He helps me out with your questions and concerns. And also, if I've got the right mic potted up, I've got Matt Service here.
Good morning.
Good morning, Matt. He's from Environmental Office Solutions, and you guys do something pretty cool. I mean, it doesn't sound that cool, but it is kind of cool, the volumes that they do. You guys recycle ink cartridges and technology.
Yeah, we've been doing this since 1996. We started doing recycling toner cartridges and ink cartridges, and then in 2017 we've gone on to start doing more with computers and cell phones and laptops and tablets, and so it's a good thing, but we've been doing the whole recycling thing for a very long time.
It's amazing, and some of the statistics he gave us, 10 million ink cartridges. I thought that was just as many as they've done in their entire lifetime. No, that's in 1 year.
Yeah, that's in 1 year. Since we've been in business, we've done over 200 million cartridges we touched.
Wow.
It's a lot. But, you know, we've done a lot to try and automate it. When we first started doing this, it was very manual. Mm-hmm. Even in our current building, we've been there for about 12 years. But when we first set up, it was all very manual on volume wise. We get a lot more ink than we do toner as far as number of pieces.
All right.
And they come in these big Gaylords. We call them Gaylords, and they're like what the watermelons come in the grocery store.
Yeah. Big bins.
Big boxes. Yeah. And,
filled to the rim.
Yes. Filled to the brim. And, we get them in by the truckload. We get them from all over the place. If you were to turn them in at like a Staples or a Best Buy or Walmart or who knows where, they might eventually make their way to us.
That's good.
And we get them from, you know, all over the U.S. and Canada. And so anyway, so when we first started doing these years ago, in where we do inks currently, there used to be a whole bunch of banquet tables set up.
Yeah.
And we had a whole bunch of these bins like the post office uses for mail.
Yeah.
And we would do sort of like sneaker net in the old days with technology, right? We would have people carrying them from table to table.
Oh, my Lord.
And they would manually look at each one of them, and then we would write down on a piece of paper what the part number was.
One at a time.
And as our volume continued to increase, we went on to get some different certifications, which we have for the proper way to recycle everything, we started looking at ways to automate stuff. So the first step was to have them type into an Excel spreadsheet instead of handwriting stuff.
Nice. It's a big step.
Yes. And then we went on from there. And eventually what we did was we came up with a way to scan them all.
Yeah.
And we were still doing visual inspection, but we had to create our own database of the barcode to the part number and the manufacturer.
Because it wasn't didn't exist.
Because it doesn't exist.
Right.
And even like on an HP cartridge, an HP inkjet cartridge, there might be 5 or 10 different barcodes for the same part number, depending upon which factory it was produced in and what year it was done and all this kind of stuff. So we had to build all of that database to do the cross-reference and build the whole database to scan into, the whole system for that. So fortunately, we've had some good people in-house, and we built all that, and it just continues to evolve.
Right. You have cameras that look at the actual part and can tell whether or not it's got a blem or a problem, or you can use it. The camera picks it all out, right?
Yeah, so that was an evolution.
Yeah.
When we first started manually, you know, we were still visually inspecting them.
Yep.
And we had started scanning them, and now we have a system where we use these very high-resolution cameras to do what's called machine imaging, right, or whatever you want to call
artificial intelligence, right?
Yes, yeah. Well, and it learns over time.
Yeah.
So we've taught it what a good one was and what a bad one was, and we have to give variations of good and bad, and these cameras have a very high resolution. So we're looking at what's called the printhead, the piece that puts the ink on the paper.
Right.
And we're looking at the pixel level for how big the damage is and how deep it is.
Mm.
And we use light where it reflects off. It's called dark field imaging. So we have very bright lights that strobes on it. And the printhead is reflective.
Yeah.
So when it comes back in a dark area, that tells us that's where the defect is.
That's cool.
It's pretty crazy stuff. Yeah. And it's taken us, I guess it's been in development and testing, and it's finally, we're in production with it. It took us a couple of years to get to where we are today.
Hmm.
But we have better quality than with the naked eye. You can't.
Oh, yeah.
And they process them very quickly. So it's part of how we end up doing so many now, because we have the technology that allows us to process them at that speed.
So you're remanufacturing these then?
No, we do not remanufacture.
Oh, okay. So when you recycle, I figured you would get them and then you would sell them, but you're not reselling them.
Well, we sell them, but let's be clear on what we do. So.
Yeah, let's be clear. What's going on here, Matt? What are you guys doing with these things?
We are sort of like a value-added distributor.
Okay.
So we get the empty ones in.
Yeah.
We inspect them and sort them, QC them. We see which ones are damaged and can't be reused,
right?
And which ones can be reused and refilled.
And that's the value?
And so then we take the ones that can be reused and we sell them to the people that actually do the remanufacturing and the refilling. A different company, yeah. So we don't do that. We have people, our customers are all over the U.S. and China and all various different countries all around the world that actually get them in and do the refilling and the remanufacturing. Ink is a little bit different than toner. Toner, they actually completely disassemble the cartridge into all of its component parts.
You guys do that?
Nope, we do not. And ink, they more depending upon the technology that they use, they may just push a little hole in the top and refill it with ink. So
unbelievable.
Whoa.
So what about dealing? So you got these remanufactured cartridges. And now HP is mad, right? Because they want to sell you a nice, brand new, expensive cartridge, and they've got the RFID technology in there to know. Are they getting to the point where they can say, "Hey, I've already seen this cartridge once. Why am I seeing it again?" Is the industry worried about HP doing something like that, or have you already seen them?
Going on for years, actually.
Has it been?
Yeah. And there's a lot of different things that have entered into that. So one of the things, if you have an HP printer, especially, is you'll when you're setting it up initially, there's ways to turn off its ability to phone home.
I like it.
So we always advise people to do that. In the industry, they advise it because it phones home and it will send a firmware update to the printer that will add other functionality as they update their cartridges. And even for a printer that might have been made 3 years ago, they're evolving their cartridges in the new ones they make.
Right.
And they may add some extra functionality in there. They send the firmware update and so it'll recognize or not recognize the cartridge.
Jeez.
Now,
so you're trying to save the planet, and HP's trying to not let that happen.
Yes, exactly. As a matter of fact, there's a facility in Tennessee that HP. So one of the things that HP has is they have this new instant ink thing where when you get a new cartridge, a new printer, they say sign up for Instant Ink. You'll never run out of ink again.
Yeah.
Because HP will monitor the level of ink in your printer.
As a managed service.
Yes. And as they recognize that it's running low on ink, they will mail you another cartridge in the mail, and they just only bill you a small amount of money every single month.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's only
a small amount,
right?
And so they have a facility in Tennessee that when all these empty cartridges come back to them, they destroy them. They basically shred them.
Oh, my.
Now, they say that, and they're shredding over 100,000 a day.
I'm sure. Yeah.
That's just, and they say that it, you know, they're taking that plastic and the metals and everything that they get, and that's being reutilized to make new cartridges. And so in their mind, they're recycling. But it's a little bit different. You know, when we talk about recycling, and it's a big thing nowadays with climate change and everything else, and we talk about what's it really take.
Right.
There's much less, even when they shred them and they're going to reuse the plastic.
Right.
The amount of energy that it takes
to shred
it and then to melt it.
Of course.
And to mold the new ones and all that kind of thing. Yes,
you
may not be using a gallon of oil to make a new cartridge.
Right.
But there's still a lot of energy that goes involved in that as opposed to us. What our goal is to reuse the cartridge as much as possible. And at some point, the cartridge can't be reutilized anymore.
Right.
And then if it comes to us, then we send it to waste to energy. Where they take the cartridge and it becomes the fuel in a plant. Sort of like the one in the south end of Hartford, but our stuff goes to Niagara Falls, to a facility in Niagara Falls.
That's ironic.
Yes, it is.
Why would you say Niagara Falls? I never would have guessed that. They got unlimited energy for the falls. All right, so we're going to step out for a quick break and talk more with Matt Service on recycling technology, not just ink cartridges, but you guys also do cell phones now, laptops. What's ITAD equipment?
Oh, information technology asset disposal. It's what do you do with your old computer?
Oh, that's what you call it?
Yes.
Okay.
ITAD.
ITAD. We'll be talking about all that. We'll be right back. Hartford, they've been around since 1996, recycling all sorts of stuff, not just ink cartridges. What else do you guys recycle?
So we talked a little bit about toner cartridges that we do, and our process on that has evolved as well.
Yeah.
And is much more sophisticated. And, you know, we also handle laptops and tablets, desktop computers, and cell phones. Just a couple quick things I think I would throw out there for people to think about.
Yeah.
So this is some statistics that are from like the EPA and a couple other sources like them.
Yep.
On average, 8 ink cartridges are thrown out every second in the U.S., not recycled.
Jeez.
Oh. A toner cartridge that's thrown into a landfill can take up to 450 years to decompose.
Wow.
So, and approximately 1.3 billion ink cartridges are used worldwide annually, and less than 30% are currently being recycled. So, you know, there's lots of places to recycle. We don't take them in from an end user,
right?
But you know, Walmart has boxes right in the aisle where their ink and toner is, and Staples will take them back. Most places will take them back from you.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we...
you would think CVS would take drugs back, but they don't.
No.
Right?
You got to bring it to the police department if you don't want it in your water supply.
So the other thing that's interesting is there were almost 1.7 billion cell phones made in 2022.
Jeez.
It's estimated in the United States that almost 400,000 phones are thrown out every day.
I have a box in my basement.
Exactly. That's what, no, I mean, like, you know, I mean, quite honestly, we still get in the old Nokia flip phones.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, when people turn stuff in, we still get BlackBerries turned in.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't have a lot of value for us.
Right.
But our goal with the technology, cell phones and laptops and tablets, so our goal with those is to sell them into secondary markets to extend the life of the phone. You know, a lot of us here in the U.S., we're really lucky, right? And people, even my kids. Mm-hmm. You know, when a phone is 2 years old or 3 years old, they think they have to get a new one. You know, or if I'm on that payment plan with the carrier,
yeah,
you know, the carrier says, okay, well, you can get a new phone now.
Right. All it is carrier
usually,
crack.
It's usually 2 years.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's driving consumerism. But, right. you know, you take a five-year-old Samsung phone that somebody in Pakistan is, you know, or Costa Rica or Mexico. And so, again, we get these phones from all over the place. We collect them. Same thing with laptops and tablets. You know, we have, we deal with companies like Tab across the United States and mm-hmm. school systems and everybody, you know, even before the pandemic, a lot of school systems had all implemented this one-to-one technology where all the kids have Chromebooks.
Yep.
We get them from school systems. We get stuff in from colleges and universities and federal agencies and all different types of organizations. And so we'll get the devices in.
Yep.
Again, we inspect them. Our first step is to see, you know, are they damaged beyond economic repair, right?
Okay.
Somebody drove over it with a truck.
Yeah,
kind of thing, right?
Not going to work.
There's nothing we can do about that. And then we take them and we data wipe them, make sure that they're sanitized. And this is all part, again, of our certifications that we have.
But data wiping them does not mess with the operating system.
Correct. Correct. Right. In some cases, on some laptops and some computers, we get the computer in and it doesn't even have a hard drive in
it
because someone's taking that out.
That'd be the right way to do it.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, we may take those other devices that couldn't be reused, we might have taken a hard drive out of one of those.
Yeah.
And we can mass wipe and sanitize those.
Right.
To standards that, like a mil-spec type standard for sanitization.
Wait, are you even doing the zeros and ones? Are you even doing the data shredding on them? Before you wipe them or after you wipe them?
You know what? You're going to ask me that question. I'm not going to answer that. That's at a level that I can't tell you the
Fair
answer
enough.
To that. We utilize some software.
You need to tell me, but you have to kill me.
Exactly. We use some software called Blanco, which is an industry standard for that. And so exactly that
Blanco.
Yeah. Right. So we data wipe them.
Yeah.
We use Blanco and another software where it actually tests all the functionality, the microphone and the speaker and all that kind of stuff.
Nice.
And then once we've graded them, both cosmetically and functionality, then we'll end up selling them.
So you guys will actually sell the product then?
Yes, but that's primarily at a wholesale basis again. So we're selling them if they are of a high enough quality cosmetically and functionality wise, then we might sell them in a third party marketplace like an eBay or Amazon, that kind of thing.
Yep.
To the end user. Same thing with laptops and computers. And tablets, we do that way too.
Yeah.
But in many cases, in these other countries, Mexico, Costa Rica, whatever, we're selling them to the small bodega or cell phone store, computer store that's on the island or in the country.
Yep.
And they might take ones that we have that have a cracked screen, and their technicians will replace the screen.
Gotcha. A lot more economical down there to do that.
Correct. And so they'd rather take them that are broken because they can fix them cheaper than if we fixed them
and
sold them one with a new screen on it.
You get to sell broken stuff and make money on selling broken stuff.
And our goal, again, is to extend the life of the product. We don't want it to just get thrown into a shredder for someone to recover the precious metals. And that's a last resort for us.
Right. So you're a different type of recycler because there's other ones out there that will just smash it, shred it, and extract the gold and the platinum and the silver out of the device and try to make their money that way.
Well, yeah. And so let's talk about that. Let's go back to ink and toner.
Yeah.
So there are e-waste companies, and then there's people like us that are more recyclers. We're not really an e-waste company, but in many cases, some e-waste company might go into Travelers or Aetna or something like that, and they're replacing all their printers. And so they get all the printers out. And what they're going to do with them, they're probably not going to resell them. They're going to want to throw them into a shredder.
Right.
The issue is, because powder is so fine and granulated, if you throw a printer with a toner cartridge in it into a shredder, it will explode.
Nice.
And the same thing on the ink side, it won't explode, but the ink will gum up the shredder.
Right.
So that's part of where we get these cartridges, because they're pulling them, the e-waste people.
Oh, and giving you the cartridges.
Are pulling them out.
Oh, wow.
Nice. It used to it was a nuisance for them.
Right.
But the good ones we pay them for, because they have value.
Wow. Like a little bit of Keurig K-Cups, aren't they the same thing as an ink cartridge? And there hasn't there been like a class action lawsuit about them not being recycled?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like those, yes, there's people that are trying to recycle those and make stuff out
They're
of them.
They're the same thing without the circuitry. They're just stupid cups.
Yeah, it's just a little plastic vessel.
Right.
It's like a miniature red cup.
Right, so same idea, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you would like to think that someone would be able to recycle that stuff. I mean, it's, you know... We became very conscious of this. The company was founded by the brother, younger brother, of somebody who used to remanufacture toner cartridges. Gotcha. So in the 90s, they started remanufacturing HP LaserJet 2 printer cartridges.
Jeez.
And they were selling them to Aetna as one of their customers,
gotcha,
shipping them all over the country. And the thing is, with a remanufactured cartridge, you have to get an empty one.
Right.
You know, I can't remanufacture something if I don't have it.
Right.
So that's how this company came out of it.
Amazing. 10 million cartridges later, they're still cranking.
Wow.
You want to stick around a little longer?
Sure.
All right. So we'll talk a little bit more Matt Service and get to some of your calls. Mike and Susan, hang on. This is Computer Talk. Everything we've talked about so far has been posted over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. If you follow us on Facebook and Zuckerberg deems our show worthy, which he doesn't, you got to like it and you got to do all sorts of things because he's throttling us, we're pretty sure. It'll get into your news feed. And if you follow us on Twitter at TabComputerSys, you'll get everything, no problem. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're talking e-waste. Give us that statistic you gave us, Matt.
So in on average, the United States produces 6.9 million.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Million tons of e-waste, and that equates to about 46 pounds per person.
Yikes.
And only China produces more in the world.
Wow. So we got a problem.
Ouch.
Got a problem.
And we have to think, remember, that e-waste is including your mouse and your keyboard, and it's all those other things. It's not just the computer.
Anything with electronics in it.
You're right. Correct.
So we're continuing a little talk with Matt, but we're going to get to some of your calls. You've been on the line for so long, we don't want to have you have your ears fall off with a cauliflower ear. Let's go to Susan in West Springfield. What's going on, Susan?
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Well, this is much less complicated than what you guys have just been talking about, but we have a Sony TV and a JBL soundbar. We've had them both they're both at least 12 years old, or around 12 years old.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, for the past month or so, the soundbar just kind of comes on by itself and connects to our Bluetooth. And it's like it's haunted or something. I don't know. We'll start, writing an email. We'll hear the click, click, click coming from the soundbar. And we have, the remote has the source button on it. So
yeah.
So I don't know what we can do about that or why.
Sounds like a feature to me.
Yeah, it does. Now, if the soundbar is connecting to a computer, you can tell it to forget it.
Right.
No, it doesn't seem to be connecting to our computer, to our cell phones.
Oh, well, and the cell
Same
phones
idea.
go into the settings.
Your
go
Bluetooth
into the
settings.
Bluetooth settings for your device.
Yep.
And you'll be able to see a list of devices that are known to it. And you can usually tap a button off to the side of each entry, or you might have to just press and hold that particular entry. And then you'll get a menu of things you can do with it. And there's usually going to be a forget or remove option.
Yep.
And that would do it.
So into the settings on our phone?
Yes.
We're thinking the one of your devices is telling your soundbar, hey, wake up, buddy. I want to play some music.
Right.
Yeah, but I'm not seeing. I'm looking at my cell phone right now, and, of course, the Bluetooth is on.
Yeah.
But the only devices say my Chevrolet and then SB200, which is my husband's tablet, I believe.
It may not be your phone. It could be his phone.
It could be a different phone.
Okay.
Somebody's phone, we're thinking, is triggering it.
Yeah, you'll have to just try each different phone.
Okay. All right. I'll look at that.
See, it is a feature.
All right. Hopefully it's simple as that. Okay.
All right, Susan.
I appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
That's a good theory. I think it's a good theory. It's probably that. Let's get to Mike in Bristol real quick because he's been on the line for a long time, too. Hey, Mike. What's up?
Hey, how are we doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Listen, NetSpeed Internet has been in my area for a little while now.
Yeah.
And I noticed that when they came around, they were putting cables, their own cables, up on the poles and stuff. So
yeah.
It makes me curious if they're not some kind of different technology than Xfinity or Frontier or anything like that. And maybe you can expand upon that.
Yeah. Fiber is a glass filament, probably plastic, but it's light. You're going to actually transmit the internet, the zeros and ones, over light versus cable TV is using that old RG68, whatever it's called, thick copper wire.
Mm-hmm.
And then Infinity, or I'm sorry, Frontier might be using DSL, which is digital subscriber line, which is old copper as well. And then they're offering fiber too.
Frontier is doing fiber, and some of the cable companies are doing fiber in certain areas.
Right. But they're all three different technologies. Yeah. Fiber, though, is fiber. Cable is cable. And DSL is DSL. Yeah. So not all wires are the same there, Mike.
Right. So this is just, well, I'm familiar with some of that technology. This is just fiber then. With the net speed.
Correct. Just fiber. I mean, I would say it is fiber. I mean, the beauty of it is future proof. You can go as fast as you want.
No, that's what I meant. It's fiber. So that's the difference. And they had to put their own because the other ones aren't fiber. Okay.
Yeah, they had to fight for access to the 40-foot pole in front of your house that they should have had access to 20 years ago. And you and I would be dealing with probably even faster speeds if they had allowed them access to those poles a long time ago. But, of course, somebody in government got something doing that.
And I heard you say to an earlier caller that you really don't want to pay for more than, would you say, 150 megabits?
Correct. I mean, 150 megabits for a typical family of five. I'm a family of five with three boys. They're all gamers. I'm a gamer, too. And if I can survive streaming, internet, gaming at 150 megabits, you can, too. You can get more if you want. You'll have lower latency and you make your kids happier. They'll do some damage on the battlefield. Like, I can do that now. And I'm a 50-year-old guy playing these shoot-up games. I actually can compete now because my latency, my own physical latency by being older, is overcompensated by the ping that I get with a high-speed fiber. So I can, I can nail these little whippersnappers online and they don't know how I'm doing it. And that is a benefit for gamers. But for regular people, 150 is plenty, but 200, you'll be fine with just those lower speeds. You don't need to spend the most money.
Thank you very much.
You got it, Mike. All right. So, that's the thing with internet is you don't want to buy more than you need. It's like, again, it's like water.
You're just overpaying. Yeah.
Yeah. You're just overpaying. So Matt Service is still here with us. What else in the recycling world are you guys doing that you want to chat about?
So I want to talk a little bit about our certification.
Yeah.
And what that means.
Yeah.
What we have to do as part of our certification, we have to account for every single pound of material that flows through our building.
Wow.
From the time that it arrives at the dock to the time that it leaves our dock. And I was talking before about the things that we're not being able to sell for reuse.
Right.
And that we send some stuff to waste energy.
Right.
Up in Niagara Falls.
That's crazy.
So we have to do reporting back to the people that we get the material from.
Yep.
And we get audited on this, both from the people we get the material from, and then the actual certifying body audits us every year.
Wow.
And so one of the things when I started this program, and one of the questions I got one time, it really baffled me, and now it's just a common thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the company was happy with all the data that we sent, and they said, okay, so what happens to the ash?
Yeah.
I said, what do you mean, what happens to the ash?
That's a great question.
And they were interested in knowing what was the reduction in the weight and volume of what the material we sent to the leftover ash, I guess to see about the efficiency of the combustion, right? I guess.
Yeah.
So the leftover ash is typically used as cover in a landfill.
Okay, yep.
That's what they use it for. But mm-hmm. But that's the level that we have to know.
Well, I would even think when you bring in a whole Gaylord full of the cartridges, even the leftover toner inside the cartridges has weight too.
Correct.
Now, when you send it out, do you clean it up or do you leave the toner in there?
No, we don't evacuate them. And it's different. I mean, we talked a little bit about this off air about when is it really empty?
Right.
And so, yes, sometimes the cartridges have residual toner in them or residual ink. And that's not something we don't evacuate those.
Okay.
We just pass them along, and there are some companies that are getting into the recycling business on the toner cartridge side that actually are evacuating the toner.
Yeah.
And combining it, all that toner that they evacuate, and trying to reuse that and say that they're going to the next step. I'm not sure that I want there's different manufacturers of the toner, so I don't know that I would want that mixed together and see how that was going to affect the output from the printer. But there's different companies doing all kinds of wild things, trying to, I guess, to continue the whole idea of reuse,
Right. And we talked a little bit off air. I asked him, about the state of Connecticut as far as you know, these guys are out there trying to save the planet a little bit. I mean, he hasn't said that in so many words. You're making money, obviously, but you're helping the planet by not putting all this stuff back in the landfill. And I was curious to see, you know, what kind of help the state of Connecticut or attaboys you're getting from it. And you're like, is it crickets over there?
Well, we don't get the level of support that we might like to get.
You think? You get,
you know, they're very
support.
Much interested in other things, mercury-containing devices and
right.
TVs and flat screens, and then the stuff that has refrigerant in it and refrigerators. Right. And
as kids, we always play with the mercury when the thing's...
And then, yeah. Roll it around on the table, hold it in your hand. It looks not anymore. You can't do that stuff.
No, more fun.
You know, and they're worried about mattresses. So we don't get the recognition at the state level that we might like to get.
Right.
But it's becoming very much... the amount of plastic that's involved in all this stuff is becoming a big deal. I'm not sure if I mentioned this, but California in April of 2022,
you didn't mention the area,
passed a law to want to phase out single-use plastic. So it's going to all come around.
So no more Keurigs for them either.
No. I mean, hopefully someday we can get rid of all these water bottles that everybody's carrying.
That's a big problem.
That's a huge problem. That's you know. Probably as big as all the ink and toner cartridge problem.
Oh, it
or
really
bigger.
Is. Yeah. Yeah, the water business is insane. I mean, the state of Connecticut will put a nickel on your aluminum can, but they're hoping you don't recycle it because when you don't recycle it, it goes to the general fund. More than half of that money, that nickel you're putting in there, is going to the general fund.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's like $40 million a year that they get to keep because we don't recycle.
In general about recycling it, the other thing, you know, I don't know how much your listeners and you guys are aware, but
Matt.
Yes. In most in most towns, recycling used to be marginal or slightly revenue positive.
Not anymore.
And now, you know, where it used to go to, China doesn't want stuff.
No.
All the places that were stuff, what was collected used to get sent.
Right.
And especially some of the stuff that people think they're doing the right thing by recycling, but they're commingling dirty bottles or dirty stuff in with the stuff that's clean, and then it can't be recycled. So now it's a cost for them. And, you know, obviously in our industry, I pay a lot of attention to what's happening in recycling in general.
But you're doing a different kind of recycling, right? So when I'm recycling a material to be reused as a raw material, right, like an aluminum or something like that, that's not what you're doing. You're repurposing, really.
Correct.
We're trying
to extend the life of the product.
Right. That's different than me having a can melted down and reused again. So that's, you guys are doing something that's probably a little better.
We would like to think so. Yeah. I mean, you know, the whole idea is if we can not have to make a new product.
Right.
Right. I mean, they don't have to start from scratch.
Right.
And we can recover as much as we can and reuse it as many times as possible. That's why, you know, like I was talking earlier about even the cell phones that are broken, there's people that are buying those and actually doing that work in some of these other countries where a 5-year-old phone is fantastic and it works just fine for them.
Works fine for me, too. I don't mind leaving my 5-year-old phone running as long as it keeps running. All right. So, Matt, how can people find out more about you?
So you can visit our website. It's www.eosusa.com. We're also on social media, but we welcome people for inquiries. Again, we're not so much dealing with end users, mainly businesses and state, local, and federal governments and schools and entities like that. But we're happy to talk to people about how they might be able to do something and help the planet.
Like an event, an recycling event where you'd have drive-by drop-off kind of thing, people are doing that?
Sure, yeah. I mean, we encourage that. We're always happy to be involved. If an organization is doing some type of recycling event and they want to extend it where they can collect electronics or even, you know, collect printers and cartridges, we're happy to be involved in that. We'd love to be part of that.
Sounds good. Matt Service, Environmental Office Solutions, we thank you for being here. Well, you're going to stick around when we finish the show?
Sure.
All right, he's going to observe. We only have one call, so we'll be talking about recycling some more. We'll step out for a quick break and then get to Mark in Barkhamsted next. We'll be back.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
We can.
Oh, great. I just wanted to call to let people know. I know you kind of agree with me on the fact that subscription service, you know, keep emptying your pockets, et cetera.
Right.
Microsoft has a huge push for that for all their products, including Office now, with the Office 365. But recently what they've done is they pulled all the ISOs off the internet for Office 2019. You can't find an ISO anymore. And I want people to be aware of it, because what happens is even if you buy the user packs now, if you go to try and register, you have to go to Microsoft, and you have to go through the Office 365 assignment process to try and finally get to the ISOs. And I'm sure you're challenged all along the way about, you know, you don't want an ISO, you want Office 365. It's only $10 a month.
You know? Right, right.
And to that end, I basically bought a DVD package I found online.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably a great market. But
right, fell off a truck somewhere.
A lot of people, I rebuild and repair PCs as a hobby, and a lot of seniors, I build PCs for them, and I usually like to build the PC with Office on there.
Right.
You know, license registered, et cetera, with the ISO, not registered to any one person, so it lives with the PC, which was the intent.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all the software is getting registered to Microsoft accounts. To even install Windows on a machine now,
yeah,
I have to get to a certain point and pull the Ethernet cable if I'm using Home Edition.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I can't finish the install without specifying a Microsoft account.
Right.
There's a yes. little hook there. If you don't have Internet, though, it's your dual private account. But if you actually finish the install there, you can keep it. So I do that for seniors because a lot of times, a lot of these spams are about, you know, your Microsoft account is expired or this and that. This is Microsoft, and
right.
we're talking about this renewal or free trial. If they have the account, they think it's legitimate. If I tell them they have nothing with Microsoft other than the right to run the machine and get
yeah.
the updates, they feel a little safer.
That could be true. You could also push LibreOffice and other things. I think most seniors don't even care anymore about, you know, what type of Office software they use.
Yeah.
I do. 80% of the ones I install, I do LibreOffice.
Yeah.
Maybe 20% I have them on Linux. I'm using a couple of different. Mint seems to work pretty well for people that, because most people just want to surf the net, and gamers have to use Windows, basically. But almost anybody else can use a Linux if they're willing to sit and, you know, embrace the differences. But
yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
A lot of people like to get, like, an Office 2016, 2019. They're
right.
just on their machine and not worry about, you know, the Office 365 and subscriptions and stuff. It's going to be harder to find. I suspect within about 5 years you won't be able to do it.
That's okay. Microsoft will paint themselves into a corner, and then there'll be a competitor that'll come out with an alternative. I mean, there's always two sides.
About three or...
I'm amazed LibreOffice never, you know, got bigger than it is. I mean, you know, from the Star Office days on, I thought it was a great idea.
Yeah.
About 3 or 4 years ago, Microsoft put out a few press releases about what they were going to do in advance of Office 2019 being released.
Mm-hmm.
And there was serious talk at that time and things that they said that suggested that there was not going to be any Office 2019 retail version.
Right.
It was just going to be Office 365, and they had to go back.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm going to tell you why. It's because of the business installation base. They had no choice.
Right.
So
yeah, the businesses can't automate off their servers. It's
right. Well, that, like I said, Microsoft has been pushing in that direction for a long time, but there's a massive amount of inertia that goes against it. So
yeah. The other thing is, I don't know if you noticed that they're technically online. If you look, there is a Microsoft Office 2021.
Oh, we've been selling it for years.
We've resold it already.
There's no ISO or DVD component to it at all that I can find. I'm gonna
yes, you can.
Oh, okay.
There's a way to get an ISO for that.
Okay. Yeah. I spent all of my time on 2019. So I had a few people that were trying to use it, and all of a sudden they said, I can't buy it with a DVD.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, no.
Okay. 21's out there. But the next one's not going to be out there.
Yeah. I'll look for that, too.
All right, Mark.
Look for something called an Office 2021 deployment tool.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
Hey, thanks for checking in. It is frustrating with all the subscriptions that are out there these days, and the cloud is slowing down. I mean, you see all these tech stocks tanking. It's because of the slowdown that's occurring. People are like, wait a minute, I can't afford all these subscriptions. I just want to do Office and email, and you want to charge me what? Oh, and it's going to go up again? And what? I mean, the old typewriters, they never had a license. Imagine if the typewriters were licensed that way, where you had to rent it. I mean, Royal down there in East Hartford, wherever they were in Hartford, they'd still be in business, right, if they could have you pay for their typewriter forever. Let's go to Nancy in Longmeadow. What's happening, Nancy?
Hi, I have a question regarding Foxfire. So if I have Foxfire.
Firefox? Yeah. I think Foxfire was a show about a helicopter, but Firefox.
Yeah, right. Well, oh, sorry. But anyhow, I have with the guy, the what you guys recommend for you me to use for a browser.
Yeah, Firefox. Yeah, it's a way to go.
Yeah, sorry. But anyhow, do I also, you know, I tried, I have been saving my passwords with Foxfire or whatever it is. And so,
but it's all right.
Is that really bad? And
yes.
I should be using something like LastKey or something like that to save passwords and not save passwords onto that.
On your browser.
Browser.
You should never, we would recommend never saving your passwords on your browser. I know it's convenient, but we'd recommend never doing it. Unless it's a silly thing, like unless it's a something you don't care that the hackers get access to because they're kept in an area that can be compromised, and we've seen it, and there's plenty of ways that it happens. A password manager, like you called, you were saying LastPass is what you probably were thinking about.
Right, LastPass.
Yeah, they've been hacked like for 50 bazillion times. So let's not recommend those guys.
That's a good one.
They're all hackable. They're all hackable. But
You can get something called 1Password. And that comes 1Password all together. That comes in a version that just installs on your computer, and it saves your passwords in a little encrypted file on the computer.
Well, there's a way to do it. And Bitwarden is another one.
Bitwarden can work that way too.
Yeah, okay, well you guys you'll put it up on the
website.
Yes,
we will. So we will, Nancy.
Okay, thank God.
All right. Well, I got to let you go.
You can tell how bad I am about remembering what stuff is. All I do is I just take your word, and whatever you want me to use, that's what I use.
That's what we like. All right, thanks, Nancy. We got to go. I want to thank Carolyn for producing. I want to thank Matt Service for being in studio. I want to thank all you guys for joining us on the show this Saturday. I want to thank Mike for posting everything, and I guess we'll check you guys next Saturday.
We want you to be geeks, too.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knix, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knix Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties. Buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.